All right, it's good to be in the Lord's house this morning, and we're so glad to have each of you here. It's a pretty good group considering all the sickness that's around and the deaths that have happened in the church family this week. But we're glad that you're here, and if there are those of you in the parking lot, we're glad that you've chosen to listen on the radio, and then I'm sure that there are others that will be listening this afternoon or sometime this week on the website. But it's always great to worship the Lord together. There's something about, during all of the shutdowns that we had last year, there were some Sundays I came in here and Tonda, Kathy, and Leonard, and Wes were all that was here, and so I just preached to empty seats, and I couldn't tell where they went to sleep or not. So it's good to have people in the sanctuary, so we're glad that you're here. Let's pray together. Father, it's good to be in your house. We love you. You're so welcome here in this service today. You know the need, the spiritual need, every other need that each person has that's listening. And Father, I pray that today the Spirit of God will touch. Lord, that your presence will be very real with every family, every individual. And Lord, if there are people that we need to go and share the love of Jesus with, lay those people upon our heart, whether we send a card or whether we pick up the phone or send a text or go and talk to them in person. Lord, we surrender ourselves to be your channel of love to those that need it. And especially, Father, if there's somebody that's lost and on their way to an eternal damnation without Jesus. And you want one of us to go and share. Father, give us that burden. We just open our hearts up to be led by the Spirit. And Lord, we know that when we're led by the Spirit and when we share in the power of the Holy Spirit, lives will be changed. Not because we're so great, but because the Holy Spirit through us and upon us opens doors and brings people to salvation. We thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen.
And good morning again. Let's take our hymnals and turn to 177, or I'm sure is on the board. Is that right, guys? Yep, look at there. It's on the board. There's something about that name. This song never, ever grows old. We're going to repeat it twice, so stand with me.
Fragrance after the rain.
a lot of truth in that song. You think about, as you read through the Bible, about the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and all of those other folks, kings and kingdoms will all pass away. But there's something about Jesus that's eternal. Jesus is eternal, and we just thank the Lord for that. Okay, a lot of announcements I want to mention. Bible study Wednesday night at 6:30. Notice several. Take your bulletin home and put it on the refrigerator to keep it up. Bike ride to benefit Rondi Uri next Saturday. I'll see Jeff Kemplinger for details. We're still continuing to give for our North Carolina missions offering. It goes up a little bit every week, and we pray that as it continues to go up, we'll be able to be a blessing to people in coming crisis. Because what we've given in the past, people are being blessed now, and in a few moments we'll have a video, but after we finish the other announcements. Keep those in mind, and then remember also next week we'll give you an opportunity if you'd like to give to help with the Afghani refugees that the Raleigh Baptist Association is taking in. So keep those in mind. Next week, a call church conference for the purpose of electing messengers to the Standing Montgomery Baptist Associational fall meeting. And so it shouldn't take but just a couple of minutes to do that, but do keep in mind a call conference for next Sunday. Jeff has given me a benefit chicken dinner for Ronnie Louder. That's Saturday, October the 9th. Delivery available after 9 a.m. It will be here at Barbies Grove Baptist Church. Plates $10, has $5 donation, and cooking by the Christian Convoy Company. Christian Cooking Convoy. All right.
If I may, I put sign up sheets on the bulletin back there. If you want plates, and really, folks, we need to sell these plates or buy them, but you can put them up down there, and then we'll have the plates here. You can come at 11 o'clock and pick them up.
Okay.
Also, we need cakes. I've got a cake sign-up sheet back there. So any pound cakes you can make, as long as we got them here by the 6th, and I'll be hollering at some of you to help to put all that together. We're doing about 1,000, 1,200 plates, somewhere in that range. It's not a real big one. We're doing this quick, and we're doing it a little bit different. The churches are going and selling them. And instead of us delivering the businesses, we're going to deliver them to the churches, and the individuals can come pick them up there. Trying to help with the COVID situation.
All right. Are there other announcements we need to make? Okay, Jeff, if you'll show us that video.
You know, if you look in the Gospels, Jesus first identifies the physical need that they're suffering with. And then he's able to reach them spiritually because he's demonstrated his compassion and love for them right there. That's what we're able to do through this health ministry.
The health screening ministry is a great way for healthcare professionals to get involved in order to serve their community, to serve their churches, to serve their neighborhoods by sharing their skills and their expertise in a way that they normally don't get inside the walls of a hospital or an institution. So it's just a really good way to share the love of Christ through their training. The health screening ministry offers patients the ability to have just a very basic health exam. So what we're testing for is A1C to check to see if people may or may not be diabetic. We're checking for high blood pressure, high cholesterol. We're checking for their risk for heart disease, which includes the risk of stroke and heart attack within the next 10 years. We have the ability to screen for depression, and we're also able to do basic eye exams where we're able to check for glaucoma and just do basic vision screenings on patients as well. We know there's a huge number of patients that are getting missed by typical healthcare. They may have a job that doesn't provide insurance. They may not have enough money to go get preventative services. So we're trying to get these people before they end up in the ER by saying, hey, you're at high risk for diabetes, or hey, you're at risk for high blood pressure. We can give them things they can do at home that will impact their health tremendously if they just follow those simple steps. So by offering the Health Screening Ministry, you're able to just invite people to come either to your church or to a local parking lot, somewhere that's not intimidating for patients. It's a good way for the church to say, hey, we are right down the road and we're offering this today just so that you know we care about you and we love you and we want you to know that we're here if you need something. So it's just a really good way to minister to people that otherwise you wouldn't have had a chance to reach.
The exciting thing is it gets us out into the marketplace to do these kind of screenings. You know, you're out with the people, opportunity to share Christ with them and just, you know, show them that we have care and compassion for them and the love of Jesus.
We're driving up in a mobile unit and there are patients that never would get reached otherwise. And so we're inviting them, come on board, let's check out your health. But in the process, we're going to check you out physically and spiritually. So we're able to pray with you. We're able to share Jesus with you and just really love on people that may not get loved on. So it's just an incredible way to share Jesus with everybody that comes on board.
Isn't it amazing what we can do just as we open our pocketbooks and give a little bit of money? How many people we can impact, how many people we can touch, and how many lives we can change in a lot of ways. As we go down to our prayer request, you noticed in your newsletter about the death of Margaret Allen Burgess. She's the grandmother of Gail Perkins. Remember that. And then, of course, Miss Shirley Edwards passed away this week. She'll be lying in state at Hartsville Funeral Home in Albemarle this afternoon from 2 to 4. And then she'll be here tomorrow morning from 10 to 10:45. And I think the family will be greeting friends at that point. Funeral at 11 o'clock tomorrow and then burial over at Smith Grove. And then my understanding is the family will come back here for some refreshments and give you a chance to come back and mingle with the family a little if you'd like to be a part of that. Also, you know, remember Reverend Nathan Fox's family. Nathan passed away, and his funeral is this afternoon at Memorial Baptist. Nathan was probably one of the two best friends I had as pastor friends here in Stanley County. And he preached a lot of places. I know he preached here. He's a super good guy. His grandson said yesterday that he preached a funeral about 2 weeks ago down at Edwards Funeral Home and said that's where he thinks he picked up COVID. And because he started getting sick after that. And so, you know, that's great that he could still be preaching, 93 years old, still touching lives, still making a difference. But pray for his family. Of course, pray for Shirley's family as well. Then we need to continue to remember Angela Frick and also Leonard and Donna, both of them having COVID. We want to remember them in prayer. There's some others on the back of your bulletin. Gail Shields, Margaret Burris, Margaret Burgess, Margaret Stewart. Who else do we need to remember in prayer? Right, good. Anyone else? Okay, David, would you lead us in prayer?
Up to you that you know their needs, Lord, and we know that you can reach down and heal all things that are wrong. Lord, we lift up to you.
Amen.
Stand with me again. 407, because he lives. And we'll have it on the board for you. All three verses.
Children's Church, dismissed.
I will make you fishers of men.
Thank you, Tonda and Kathy, for leading our music today. I didn't mention Lionel during the prayer request. I know last week they said he had COVID. Is he doing all right?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Good. You know, I have a very special pastor friend who lives up in the mountains. Now, he's just a good old country boy. Not a lot of education past high school, but he loves Jesus. He loves his family. He loves to preach. And he loves to deer hunt. Just a good old country boy. And I don't know whether it's been 5 years, 7 years. He sent me a picture on Facebook, not Facebook, but email of him and Dr. Billy Graham. And, you know, they were talking, you know, you could see both of them side by side talking to each other. And it seems that one of Billy's caregivers in his later years, that when he couldn't look after himself, was a member of Mark's church. And so that caregiver made it possible for Mark to go and spend, I think, somewhere between 30 minutes and an hour just sharing with Billy and Billy praying for him and them praying together. And it's one of the most special times in Mark's life. I mean, you know, the thing to sit down with Billy Graham in those latter years and share. I haven't asked him, but I wonder if he's ever washed the hand that he shook Billy's with. You know, Mark wouldn't give anything for that experience because it was so special. And I imagine that it would have taken a major disaster for him to have missed that appointment. If he knew he was supposed to be there at a certain time at the gate to be let in, you know, unless something really disastrous happened to one of his kids or to his wife, I can't imagine him missing that appointment. It was that special. Now, let me ask you a question. Is there somebody special that you'd like to meet? Not just to shake their hand, but to spend 30 minutes, an hour or more with that person. Maybe an athlete, movie star, singer, politician, preacher, Bible teacher. Is there somebody that you would just be eager to go spend a little time with? What would you be willing to do to spend some time with them? Would you drive from here to Washington? Fly from here to L.A.? What would you be willing to pay to spend some time with them? Is there somebody that important that you just love to spend time with? I wish I'd had the same opportunity that my friend Mark did. And there's over the years, there's several other great Bible teachers or preachers that I'd love to have spent some time with. All of a sudden, I can't remember the guy's name, but we went to a special conference at Furman University many, many years ago. It was so far back we were driving a Chevrolet Vega. And I may think of this guy's name, but one of the main speakers was a fellow that I have a number of books by. And as we were coming out of the cafeteria at lunch one day, we sort of fell in with him and we ended up talking with him. And I think, I don't know whether he came to our room, we went to his room, but we spent just a little time with this special, you know, that was just wonderful. Wonderful to be able to spend time with somebody special. But what about spending special time with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord of Glory? Turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 24. Psalms chapter 24. And in the first two verses of Psalm 24, the psalmist reminds us of what an awesome God God really is. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. The psalmist reminded us that God created it all. Everything that you see, everything that is, God created. And it's a marvelous creation. It's a marvelous creation. Just to look at the beauty. Sunsets, sunrises, the majestic mountains, the rolling seas. And you know, like some of you, I love to eat. And just to, when I start thinking, how many kind of beans, how many kind of peas, how many kind of fruits? You know, God could have made it all just one blob, tasteless, something that has kept us alive. But God made it so that we could enjoy all the wonderful blessings of life. And he said, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness, the completeness. Everything belongs to him. And he says, also those that dwell therein. That's you and me. We dwell in the earth. All that have ever lived, all that live now, all that will ever live, all belong to the Lord. And he will make a decision as to where we spend eternity. Now we eventually, you know, have to decide ourselves, our own choice. But all of us eventually stand before the judgment of the Lord as to our eternity. The psalmist begins by saying, you serve an awesome God. There is an awesome God. And then he asks a very important question. Look at verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Who gets to go into the presence of this awesome God? Who gets to stand in his presence? You remember the story of Queen Esther? She could come to the door, but unless he held out that scepter, she wasn't welcome. She wasn't welcome. She was the wife. She was the queen. But unless the king held out the scepter, she wasn't welcome in his presence. Now that's a culture that we don't understand. But that was a culture that was. And so the psalmist says, who could stand in the presence of this Almighty God? Well, we know from reading the New Testament that even to come through the door is to come through Jesus. We don't get in the door except through Jesus. In John 10:9, he says, he is the door, the only door, the only way. And then in John 14, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. Nobody gets to come to the Father except through me. Now that's radical in today's culture, where many people think all roads lead to God. There are many ways to heaven and we're all going to get there sooner or later. If Jesus is who he said he was, if Jesus told the truth, you only get there through Jesus. You don't get there through Buddha. You don't get there through Muhammad. You don't get there through Allah. You don't get there any other way except through Jesus. Through Jesus, we enter into the door. He opens the door to the presence of God. He lets us in. You know, and at that moment, the Bible says, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, here's one of those paradoxes of the Bible. It's like, you know, you got hand up a coin and it's got a head and a tail. God, once we come to salvation, God sees us as righteous. Because he sees us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he looks at us, he sees us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are righteous. And God sees us that way. But the flip side of that, if we're going to stand in the presence of God, there's some choices we have to make. There's some commitments we have to make. And that's where the psalmist gets into it in verse 4. Verse 3, the question is, who's going to stand in the presence of the Lord? Verse 4 says, he that hath clean hands, a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Now you see, the flip side of that coin is, if we want to enter the presence of God and really get to know him, there's some commitments we have to make on our part. Wonderful thing is, the Holy Spirit will help us. He will convict us and show us where we're messed up, where we're wrong. He will empower us to do right. But we have to make the commitment. Clean hands, a pure heart, with not lifted up his soul into vanity nor sworn deceitfully. When you were a kid, you ever come in from playing or working? Mama says, wash your hands before you come to the supper table. In fact, I remember those old houses with the wash basin and the water and the soap and the towel that were hung on the porch. Now, some of you aren't old enough to remember that, but there's a few of you that are. You washed your hands before you came in to sit at the supper table or the breakfast table or the lunch table. He that hath clean hands. What about the things we're doing? The kind of activities we're involved in. Those kind of things that, are they pure? Are the works that we're doing pure before the Lord? If we want to go into the presence of God and stand in that holy place, we have to desire clean hands. We have to desire a pure heart. You remember Jesus picked up that same thought in the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the pure in heart, for what? They are the ones that shall see God. The pure in heart. You know, there's people that do sort of right, but their hearts are evil. They put on a good show, but their hearts are evil. They put on a smile on Sunday morning, but their hearts are evil. They're like some of those antichrists that Ann talked about in the Sunday school lesson. They seem to fit in, but at first, in reality, they're not. He says you have to have a clean hand and pure heart. Let me flip over right quick to Psalm 51. Because we're going to come back to Psalm 24 in a minute. But you remember David in that sin with Bathsheba? And then the prophet Nathan comes in and says to him, listen, buddy, let me tell you a little story. There was this guy who had a lot of sheep. But instead of taking one of those for his meal, He went over and took the one little lamb that his neighbor had. And David thunders, well, that guy needs to die. And you know, it takes courage to be the kind of prophet that Nathan was. And he says, you're the guy. You're the guy. You had a number of wives, but you took the wife, the loved wife of your friend, and then had him killed. And it broke David's heart. It broke David's heart. And he realized his hands were dirty and his heart was dirty. And Psalm 51 is his prayer. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto thy multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Now, isn't that amazing? He goes to God and he says, God, I messed up. And he had sinned against his own wives. He had sinned against the nation. He had sinned against Bathsheba. He had sinned against Uriah. But he said, Lord, it's all that really matters is I've really messed up before you. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. He realized that his heart was not clean. And then when you go down to verse 10 and 12, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. He says, God, I've lost my joy. And you know, sin will cause you to lose your joy. Sin will cause you to lose your joy. And over years, I've seen people that still went to church, but they lost their joy because of sin. They lost their joy because of sin. Sin will mess you up. He says, if you want to stand in the presence of the Lord, clean hands, a pure heart, and not lifted up your soul into vanity. That's emptiness, worthlessness, useless stuff. And vanity can be sin, or vanity can be things that are okay, but to an excess. I remember a certain pastor came to a church in Chatham County. And they said he played golf 3 or 4 days a week. And just got up and read old sermons. Well, see, there's nothing wrong with going to play golf. I've played a form of golf. something that sort of resembled golf. I had golf clubs and a golf ball. And eventually, after 10 or 12 strokes, I could get it in the hole. If I could find the ball out of the woods. or retrieve it from the pond. But, you know, if it becomes an obsession and it consumes all of my time so that I have no time to say a word to you from God, it's become a lying vanity. And there can be many, many things. They become, he said, we lift up our souls unto vanity, emptiness, falseness, like offering up our soul to an idol that becomes more important to us than God himself. He said, if you want to stand in the presence of the Lord, clean hands, a pure heart, don't lift up your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions to those things which are empty. nor sworn deceitfully. Telling falsehoods, telling lies. Oh, you know, I remember those years on the playground. I swear to God, this is truth. Cross my heart and hope to die. You knew it was a lie. You knew what they were saying was a lie just by the way they said that. He says, if you want to go into the presence of God, here's the way to do it. And you say, that's your choice and mine. I have to deal with the purity of my own heart, the cleanliness of my own hands. The choices that I make as to what's important and not important in my life. And how truthful I am when I speak. And those are the choices that you make. But the psalmist says if we want to live in the presence of God, really stand in His presence of a holy, righteous, almighty God, these are the choices that we make. You know, Isaiah recognized that. He said, I was in the temple in the Lord's when the king Uzziah died. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple, and the seraphim cried out, holy, holy, holy. And then I said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. I live in the midst of an people of unclean lips. Lord, when I look at your holiness and when I look at your glory, I can't stand it. But the good thing is, he says, the angel took tongs, took a coal off the altar, put it on his lips and made him clean, and then gave him an assignment of ministry. In the New Testament, 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of a little bit of unrighteousness, some unrighteousness, all unrighteousness. Doesn't take that coal off the altar, it takes the blood of Jesus to cleanse us of unrighteousness. Oh, that's good news. That's good news that we, if we desire in our heart to stand before the presence of God, He makes it possible. And then look at verse 5, of the result. Psalm 24, verse 5. The result of standing in the presence of God, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. He says, you want to go and stand in the presence of the Lord? You have clean hands, a pure heart, and you're going to get God's blessings. God's going to see you as righteous. God's going to pour upon you all the good things that you want and all the good things that you need. The blessing of the Lord are for those who seek Him. You know, the psalmist said in another place, early shall I seek Thee, O Lord. Early shall I seek Thee. Now for some of you, early is 4 o'clock in the morning. Others 6, others 8, maybe 10. It's all right. Whatever's early for you. Seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord. And I think it's interesting when you look at verse 6. This is a generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Pause and think about it. He says, who shall stand in the presence of the Lord? Who shall go to His holy place? Here's how you do it. Here's the blessing. And then he says, my generation is doing that. The psalmist says, my generation is a generation that's seeking you, Lord. My generation has a heart to know God. Can we say that about your generation, my generation? Can we say that about Barbers Grove Baptist Church? That we have a desire, an intense longing, a commitment to seek the face of God, to pay the price that we have to pay. You know, Jesus paid the price to make it possible, but we have to make the commitment to do it. I think it was Wednesday night after Bible study. My wife was sharing something in a book that she was reading, and I'll share it with you. Let's say that tonight, long about 9 o'clock, it gets real dark at your house. And you pick up the phone and you call the power company. And you say, hey, it's dark over here at my house. I need some light. And the power company representative is going to say, according to our computers, power is running into your house, and we are not sending anybody over there to flip the light switch. You got to flip your own light switch if you want light. We've done everything in our power. You just got to flip the switch. Well, flipping the switch is faith. God has already done all that He's going to do in a lot of areas for salvation. But we have to flip the switch. Healing, but we have to flip the switch. Purity, but we have to flip the switch. God has made all these resources available to us. We have to flip the switch. And a lot of things that we pray about, God is saying, hey, I've already done all I'm going to do. Where's your faith to flip the switch and believe? God wants you to stand in His presence with joy. God wants you to stand in His presence with power. God wants you to stand in His presence in victory. And He's done His part. Are we willing to flip the switch and do our part? Good question the psalmist asked. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? And then there he ends that section. My generation's doing that. Is our generation doing that? Do we feel conviction that we're not? Think about it. Just bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment. Don't look around in the sense of thinking about the person that's beside of you, in front of you, behind you. But just think about yourself. Do you desire to stand in the presence of Almighty God? Do you wish to be in His presence as much as my friend Mark wanted to meet Billy Graham? As much as you'd like to meet some special celebrity? Are you willing to flip the switch? Deal with things that are unclean, impure, vanity, untrue. Are you a part of a generation that needs to seek the presence of God? Oh, in this nation, how we need a generation of people who have a longing and a heart for God as we've not had in 150 years. Would you be one of that number? you need to come to the altar and just spend a moment in prayer, do that. You make that commitment at your seat, do it there. Maybe sitting in your car or in front of your computer. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? God says, come, come, my children. I welcome you. Jesus opens the door. Come into my presence. Fathers, we bow before you this morning. I pray that you'll give us a longing heart to enter into your presence. A desire beyond anything that we've known in years to seek your face. And Lord, I know that when we seek you, as the Bible says, those that seek you shall find you. For you're not very far off. Lord, may this be a church and a generation of people that seek to stand in the presence of Holy God. And Lord, I thank you for the blessings that come when we do that. Now may the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace. May you go in the blessing of God in Jesus' name.